Praise God. So this is Todd. Come on up, Todd. Some of you were here Friday night. Some of you spent some time with him yesterday. And if you haven't met him yet, you're going to get to know him a little bit now. So he's going to share a little bit about his family and some other things. But so he is a Hoosier. He is from Bourbon, Indiana. Is what I've never been to Bourbon. It sounds like a crazy place. maybe not though. I don't know. But has anybody ever been to Bourbon, Indiana before? Anyone? Oh, well, just Kathy. Kathy, the only one? Well, you'll have at least one.
Yes. If anyone's driven on Highway 30 towards Chicago, you've gone right past Bourbon and right through my family's farm. It's on both sides of the highways.
So he's a Hoosier who the Lord has called elsewhere for the sake of the gospel. And so he's going to tell us a little bit about that this morning. And when you give to the Great Commission Fund, which we do, we mention that a few times throughout the year, but some of that money then ultimately supports Todd and his family so that they can do what they do full time and not have to raise their own support and the hassle that that can potentially be. So we are going to take a love offering up at the end of the service today. There will be some plates at the back, and so if you can give to that, that'll go directly to Todd. We won't give that through the Great Commission Fund, but it'll go directly to Todd for his family to use as a blessing to them. So let me pray for you, and then we'll have you share. So Father, please speak powerfully through Todd this morning. Please fill him with your Spirit. And please communicate to these your people, specifically what we need to know as the church that meets at 5610 Lehmeyer Road. Help us know what the church on the other side of the world is going through, experiencing challenges, successes. So I ask your blessing on Todd's conversation with us this morning. May it be for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've enjoyed being here with you. We had a fun time Friday night and good visit yesterday with some folks. So I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm sorry that my family can't be here with me. My wife, Karen, and we have three children, Bethany, who's 11, Joshua, 9, and Caitlin, who's 7. But they're at home. We're living in West Lafayette, Indiana for the year. We've just completed two terms of service with the Alliance in Bosnia and Herzegovina. A term of service is 4 years in the field, and then 1 year back in the States. And so we've been in Bosnia for 8 years. And when we first left for the country, our daughter Bethany was 2 years old and our son Joshua was 6 months old. And our daughter Caitlin was born while we were there. And so they've spent most of their life living in Bosnia. So some people ask us, have you experienced any reverse culture shock in coming back to America? Things are very different here, and for them in particular. And so there's certain things that are obvious, like when I first came back, I walked into a Costco, and that was overwhelming. I just wanted to scream and run out because it was too much. And you go down a cereal aisle, and that's overwhelming. We have like 5 choices of cereal, usually cornflakes and some sort of cocoa thing and muesli, and that's about it. But now you go to a grocery store, a Walmart, and you see a whole aisle of cereal, and it's overwhelming. Of course, when our kids went down the Oreo aisle. Who knew there was an Oreo aisle? Now they want to try every single flavor of Oreos. It was like, we didn't have Oreos before. Let's try that one, that one, that one. Like, okay. One thing that really shocked us, we have, in Bosnia, we have an Opel Zafira. It's a kind of a 5-passenger vehicle that has 2 jump seats in the back that we can fit 7. It's really only fit kids in the back, but we can take other people with us. And I think there's kind of cars coming out like that here now. But that's our vehicle there. It's not as big as a minivan. It's smaller, but it's bigger than a sedan. And here in the States, we have a minivan that my in-laws have given us for the year. And one day, my daughter and I were sitting in the car, and we're waiting for my wife or something, and we started looking for how many cup holders are in the car. And so we started looking, and in front, there's 2, and then there's behind the middle console, there's another 4, and then in the doors there are cup holders, and in the back there's cup holders, and we counted, how many do we count? I put it down here. We counted 14 cup holders, And that didn't include the cup holders that my kids have in their car seats. And then I noticed there's a little button on the dash, and I pressed it, and another cup holder popped out for your cup of coffee. So it was 15 cup holders plus in a 7-passenger vehicle. And our Opel Zafira is a 7-passenger vehicle, much tighter, and it has 3 cup holders in total. And so I thought, wow, is that a statement on cultures that in Bosnia you have to share your drinks? And in America, everyone can have 2+ drinks. I don't know, but I still haven't figured out why we have that many cup holders. Well, I wanted to start with a video about my family and our ministry. It kind of gives an overview of what we're doing there. We kind of have 3 main focuses, and I share that on the video. We work with a local church there. We also work with a community center, reaching out to people largely through English. And we just work naturally in the community through our kids' schools and other people that we meet. And so this video is actually 3 years old, so it's a little dated in terms of the age of our kids. Hopefully my wife and I don't look much older. But the ministry is still the same. That's been our primary focus, so we'll start with that.
Hi, we're the Dinius family. I'm Todd, this is Karen, Bethany, Joshua, and Caitlin. We're serving in Sarajevo, Bosnia-Herzegovina with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Our ministry in Sarajevo is all about relationships through 3 main avenues: our work in the Source Center, and our work in the local church, and just the relationships that we've built around the neighborhood. In the Source Center, I'm involved in helping with English, and that's one of our main avenues through which we get to meet people, professionals, and families that want to learn English, and in that way build relationship with them and have opportunity to share our lives with them.
At the center, I get to lead a class for young children. In the past, I've led a class for preschoolers, and now I'm going to be moving into kindergarten to second grade, teaching them English.
Also, we work in the local church, where I help out with occasionally leading the service or once in a while preaching and helping out in the general ministry of the church, serving and prayer ministry and so forth.
At our church, I get to lead the Sunday school class for children, which has our 3 children as well as a couple Bosnian kids. And in the community, God has just really blessed us with a lot of relationships with people who work in the stores and our neighbors, people we've met at the park. God has just opened up a lot of doors for us through those relationships to share His love with them.
The most exciting thing about ministry here is the relationships that we're able to build. 2 key relationships that we have as a family is with Victoria and Nathan. Victoria used to work with us at our Source Center, and Nathan is her brother. And through her, I've been able to build a strong relationship with him where we work out together, we run together, and we just share life together. And it's been exciting to see how that relationship has grown over the years and his interest spiritually and just walking with him through life. And so our prayer and our hope is that both of them will come to faith in Christ and we'll really be able to walk together with them as brothers and sisters.
Last year, we had the opportunity to meet a new family through our daughter's school. This little girl, Michelle, was in Bethany's class in second grade, and I was able to meet her parents through the school. And since then, we've been building a relationship, and they are very spiritually interested, especially the mom. When they first came over to our house, she saw that we had Bible verses on our wall, and so she started talking about the Bible. And since then, we often talk about and share exchange prayer requests with each other and are building our relationship. My hope is that in the future we'll be able to study the Bible together and see more of what she really thinks about God.
Some ways that you can pray for us. First, for our ministry and the Source. We've built a lot of relationships and a lot of goodwill with the community, but we're really looking for those people that God has His hands on, that He's starting to work within their lives, that we can help them on their spiritual journey and talk with them and share Christ with them and see them grow spiritually towards faith in Him.
We would love your prayers for our children as they are all in school now, whether it's preschool or in first grade or third grade. We just pray that, ask that you would pray for them and their relationships with their teachers and friends, and then in our relationship with other parents in the schools. And we'd also love prayer for Joshua and his struggling health situations that he's had in the past.
In our local church, we're excited that we recently have 2 new believers. And even though it's a small church, God's moving. And we're just hopeful and looking for God to bring in more people and draw others to faith in Himself.
We just really like your prayers for our friends here, that they would really know the Lord and that God would open up doors and opportunities for us to share with them.
Thanks so much for your partnership, your prayers, your financial support, and your personal support. We really appreciate you.
So that gives you a little bit of a taste of our family. Here's an updated picture of us and the kids right before we came back from Bosnia. So the kids have grown. Some more recent pictures of them. Get you a little bit of their personality through their photos. I shared some about them this morning with the Sunday School class. For many of you were here Friday, but for those who weren't, just a quick kind of get you, everyone on the same page. Where is Bosnia located? It's right there in Eastern Europe, and just across the Adriatic Sea from Italy. It was part of the former Yugoslavia, which was one country, and then after the breakup of the Soviet Union, it affected other communist countries, and Yugoslavia broke apart into multiple countries. And so it's you can see that with the different countries, some Slovenia in the north, all the way down to Macedonia in the south, and Bosnia is kind of there in the middle, with Croatia on one side, Serbia, and then Montenegro. It's a very mountainous country. There's the Alps up in Switzerland. They come down into Bosnia as well. It's a little lower than up in Switzerland, but it's still mostly covered in mountains except for the far north where there is some flat lands, and down here in one river valley where there's some flat lands. So there's not a lot of farming except in those few areas. Most of it's pretty rugged. I find it very beautiful coming from northern Indiana where everything's flat. It's exciting to wake up and see mountains every morning. So it's one thing I find very beautiful about the country. It has a great ethnic and religious diversity in Bosnia. Back in here, most of the people in Croatia are Catholic, and most of the people in Serbia, Montenegro, Macedonia are Orthodox. So Croatia and Slovenia are Catholic, and Bosnia is right in the middle. And so they have some mix of people who are Catholic from Croatia background, some people who are Orthodox from Serbian background, and then they have a large percentage of Muslims. There's Muslims found in Bosnia and also down here in Albania and in Kosovo. But they have out of all the countries, they have the most mixture of peoples. And so among them, they have about 48% to 50% are Muslim people, and they are called Bosnians or Bosniaks. And then you have around 35-37% are Serbian people who are Orthodox, and another 12-14% somewhere in there. Census figures are unclear, that are Croatian or Catholic background. And even though they're all citizens of Bosnia and Herzegovina, if you talk to some of them, they'll say, "Oh, I'm a Croatian." And you say, "Oh, where are you from?" And we're thinking, and they say, "Oh, I'm from Mostar." And you're like, "Oh, that's a city in Bosnia." But they identify more with their background, where their ancestors come from. And so they're very distinct in how they identify themselves. And then there's a mixture of other people. There are some Jewish people there, a few Protestants, a few other groups there. It's spiritually, it's a dark place. There's not a lot of spiritual fruit going on. There's not a lot of witness among all the people, those who profess to be born-again believers, evangelical believers of Jesus, is less than 700 out of a population 3.5 to 4 million. And so you're talking quarter of 1% or whatever. It's a very small number of people among the whole population who are believers in Christ. And even though most people identify with a religion, they will call themselves one of those different groups. In practicality, most of the people are atheists. They don't have a large spiritual practice. Under communism, everyone was forced to be atheists. And even though they've taken on a title with a religion, they aren't really practicing it. The churches are largely empty. The mosques are largely empty. And even those that do go, it's not a very spiritually nourishing place. And so our desire there is to, you know, let people know who Jesus is. Pastor Lance asked, do people know who Jesus is? Well, they know the name, but they really don't know him personally. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." That's our desire, is that we would be the light of Christ. Wherever we go, whatever we do, that Christ would shine through us. And that people would begin to see him, that they would truly know who Jesus is through our lives, through our witness, through our words. So I just want to share a few stories. I could share hours of stories of people, but I want to highlight a few different people that have become special to us as we have lived there for the last 8 years. The first person I want to, there's a mixture of the churches. The first person I want to talk about is Mariana. I'll call her Mariana. I'm changing their names for their privacy. As part of the Alliance, we spend the first 2 years dedicated to language study. We want to learn the language well. Many groups send people in there, and they might spend 3 months learning the language, and then they struggle for the rest of their time there, because Bosnian is a very difficult language. Linguists say that it takes 8 years for an American to become fluent in Bosnian, and I can attest to that, that I've been there 8 years, and I'm still not sure I'd call myself fluent, so I still feel like I have work to go in learning the language and speaking well. So we spent 2 years meeting with Mariana. She was a teacher of Bosnian, and we hired her. Our teammate Laura and my wife and I had private lessons with her, meeting 3 times a week for a few hours. And over the course of that time, we really developed a great relationship with her and bond with her. She is a Muslim. You can't tell that. She doesn't wear the covering. Most Muslim women there don't. Very few do. But culturally, she's Muslim. Though she had had some contact with Protestants, evangelicals before, so she knew a little bit about the evangelical church. But through the course of our studies, we really got to share more about why we were there and our heart for Jesus, and she was really attracted to it. And she ended up taking us to see what a mosque was like there, and the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, and we told her what the Protestant Church was all about. And even though she professes to be Muslim, she's really open spiritually and kind of eager spiritually. When she would go to the Catholic Church, she would pretend to be Catholic and worship that way. She'd go to the Orthodox Church, she'd pretend that way. And she would always say that she would come visit our church, though she didn't. She never did. But she did hear a lot about Jesus, as we would share. And she actually brought the Bible into our lessons. She said, well, if you're going to be telling people about Jesus, let's study the Bible. And so she brought the Bible into our lessons, and we were able to learn some of the biblical language through classes with her. And we really developed a strong relationship with her. It kind of waned towards the end of our studies. We got focused on working the center. We didn't meet with her as often. She got married. She had a child. And the second term going back, her son has grown up a little bit, and he started coming to our classes. There he is as an infant. And then he started coming to our English classes as a child. So we kind of rekindled that relationship with her, and able to be in contact with her and her mother and also her son, and be able to teach him English and continue that relationship. She at times has actually professed to be a believer in Jesus. She's mentioned to us privately that she believes in Jesus and wants to follow him, though she still hasn't come to church or integrated into a fellowship that way. She has good friends who are believers, Bosnian friends, but her husband's a strict Muslim, so I think that's her resistance. So we keep praying for her that her and her husband will come to church, and that she'll truly come to Christ, and that he will as well. Many of the friendships that we have in Bosnia actually came through our children. They are a great avenue for meeting people. Even from the first time we got there, we didn't know the language, but we would take our kids to playgrounds, and we would meet other families with young kids at the playground and begin to make a relationship. And so Almir and Rachel are two of the first people that we met early on, and we developed a quick friendship with them. They're an interesting couple in that they are a mixed marriage. She is Serbian background. He is Muslim background, actually from Kosovo. They met over the internet and started a relationship. He moved up from Kosovo, and they started a relationship together. But While that was common under Yugoslavia, under communism, that wasn't a problem. Since the war, there's a lot more distance between the different groups. There isn't outright conflict anymore, but people keep more separate. And so he was originally in her hometown, which is a now largely Serbian village, and he felt very unwelcome and felt persecuted, even had death threats against him. And so they moved to Sarajevo, which is predominantly Muslim, about 90%, but it's the biggest city, it's more cosmopolitan, so people are more accepting of things. And so that's where they were living, but they don't have family around them, so they became family to us. They became godparents to our young kids, and we became godparents to theirs, and we spent a lot of time together interacting with them. Rachel actually had some dreams where she saw Jesus, kind of with his arms open to her, and yet in her mindset, she felt that he was condemning her and chastising her, and yet as she shared her dreams with Karen, Karen said, I think he's inviting you and asking, calling you to himself. So they've had a number of spiritual conversations. I've had some conversations with Almir, particularly as we hang out during World Cup time, all the men hang out and watch the soccer games, but neither one has come to faith in Christ, though I'd say she's still very open. They've gone through a very hard time in that she lost her job, he lost his job, and they've been struggled economically. And it's very hard in the country where there's around 40% unemployment. It's very hard for people to have jobs and to keep their jobs. Some people have jobs and then don't get paid because the businesses don't have money to pay them, and they say, we'll pay you later, and people keep working for 3 months to 6 months without pay because at least they have a job in the hope that they'll get paid. But it's very difficult economically. They're struggling. She's actually moved home with her parents in the Serbian village, and he is still in Sarajevo, but looking, kind of gets odd jobs now and then. So we're praying for them, obviously for God to provide for them, but also for him to speak to them and reach out to them, even in their time of need. We have some other friends. These are more recent friends of Karen's. I'll name them Brenda and Alicia. They are dance moms. Our daughter has been involved in dance pretty heavily. She went 3 nights a week for dance, and the moms would often get together and go have coffee while the girls are dancing. So they spent a lot of time together, have interacted a lot. Both of those ladies are Muslim, and again, you wouldn't know it from looking at them, but they've had plenty of good conversations. Karen's learned a lot of language to them, but she's also shared a lot of her faith with them. So they've heard a lot, and they love each other very close. Karen's still in contact with him on a weekly basis, even through our current struggle with Karen's cancer, and it's a testimony to them how we're handling it, and so we're praying for them that God uses even this difficult situation to speak to them and encourage them, bring them and their husbands and whole families to Christ. This last group is a group of kids from the kids' school. They've been going to a private school. It's a Montessori school. It teaches in English and in Bosnian. But because it's a private school, it attracts a lot of international people. So they have friends who are from Hungary and from Albania and from Turkey and from Denmark and England, all over Europe, even Canada and a few from America. When we first moved our kids to this school, they were the only believers in this school. And since then, we know a couple other families that we were friends with have moved their kids to this school as well. But it provides an avenue for a lot of interaction with people from all over the world. So through our kids and the friends that they make, we make friendships with the parents and have opportunities to interact. So God really uses our children to provide new avenues for us to share the gospel. You saw a little bit about Victoria on the video. She worked in our center as an administrator, helping us with the financial and the reception needs and all the logistical needs. We really developed a great relationship with her. She's family to us. Her mother is family to us, kind of a grandmother to our kids. We spend a lot of time with them. They live in the building right near our apartment building, so we've really grown to know her a lot. She left our center a few years ago and was seeking other work, and she had trouble finding work in Sarajevo. She did for a while, but then she ended up getting a job on a cruise ship. Many Bosnians look to get work elsewhere, in Europe, America, or so forth. She actually got a job working in the customer service on a cruise ship out of Florida right now. And so she's gone for 6 months at a time on the cruise ship and then back for a couple months. But we still stay in contact with her. She is like many young people in the country. They've kind of shed the religious identity, and they just want everyone to love each other and to get along, and that all religions are good and acceptable, because they saw the evil that was done in the name of religion, with Muslims killing Orthodox and Orthodox killing Catholics and Catholics killing Muslims and all going different ways, and they say, let's just forget all that and love everyone. And so some good in that, but some lack of truth in that. Now they think everything is acceptable and don't see the uniqueness of Jesus. She's heard the gospel many times from us, from other missionaries there. She's seen it and lived out. I'd say she has a belief in Jesus, but she hasn't committed her life to him. And so we continue to pray for her. She actually just visited us a few weeks ago. She was coming for her next tour of duty out of Florida, and she spent 5 days with us, swung by Indiana to see us first before she went down to Florida. So we very much enjoyed seeing her, but we do continue to pray for her that she will come to faith in Jesus. And this next person is her, you saw us on the video, I'll say Nathan. I was introduced to him as Victoria's brother. I got to know her first as she worked in our center, but about 5-6 years ago began to get to know him, and we hit it off right away and began exercising together, going to a local gym a couple times a week and lifting weights together, and really began a good friendship. I came to find out a couple years into our friendship that he and Victoria are not actually brother and sister. He grew up outside Sarajevo. Both of them are Serbian background families in an area that's largely Muslim. But during the war, there was a lot of evil done. And as all three groups kind of sought control over the country, they would drive out people who weren't a part of their group. So if the Serbians were the first aggressors, when they came into an area, they drove out anyone who wasn't Orthodox, all the Catholics and Muslim. But then as the Muslims took over areas, they did the same thing and so forth, such that over 50% of the people were physically driven from their homes and driven out and forced to live, either flee the country or forced to live in a different part of the country. So Nathan experienced that personally. He was around 7 or 8 years old, and some Muslims came into their village, which was just outside Sarajevo. And whether these were Bosnians or whether they were people who were brought in from the Middle East, I'm not sure. There were kind of military groups from other countries who joined in. But they came into this village, and they didn't just drive people out. They actually came through and were killing everyone who wasn't Muslim. He heard some commotion in his home, and he, being a child, got afraid, and he hid under his bed. But when he came out, he found that his mother and father and older brother and sister had all been killed, and he was left all alone. He had one uncle who was living with him who jumped out the window and ran away, but he had some mental instabilities, and so he wasn't fit to raise him. Somehow, Victoria's mom heard about them, that Victoria's dad had passed away early in the war, but the two dads had worked together, and so her mom heard about him and said, I'll take him in. I'll raise him as my own child. So ever since then, he's been practically speaking part of the family and considers himself that way. But my heart breaks for him, and there's many stories like that. And he mourns for his family. He's moved on, but I know there's deep hurts inside that he's never really found healing for, and I know that Jesus can bring healing. Can't bring his family back, but he can bring healing to the wounds and touch his life. So we've had many times of sharing. He's my closest friend in Bosnia. He's would actually call me his best friend in the world. We've developed such a great bond. He also got a job working on cruise ships. He works in stores. He sells the fine watches in the stores on the cruise ships. And so he as well is gone for 6 months to 8 months at a time and then back for a few months. He's currently going on a cruise ship out of Florida, but plans to come visit us at the end of his current tour, probably in January. So we're looking forward to seeing him for a week or so. It's our privilege to really get to know people like this and to kind of share our lives with them and be light for them. There's many stories, and we don't see a lot of people coming to Christ in large numbers at all, but we get to witness to them and share a bit of truth and through our, a lot of our friendship, through sharing from God's word, pray that God uses it in their lives and brings them to a point of salvation. One final person I want to share about, I'll call Sandy. I got to know her about a year and a half ago. She started coming to our center to learn English. And she's a Muslim and a devout one. She comes with her head covering. She's actually the editor of an Islamic educational journal. And so she's pretty connected with Islamic religion. At first I thought, why would she meet with me? I thought she might want to just meet with the ladies on our team and be, you know, not want to interact with a man. But she had no problem, so she met first weekly once with me and once a week with Petula. We have one-on-one conversation classes for an hour. We just bring a topic and some questions, and then we just interact over that. And I made a video about her, and so I know it's kind of in the middle of our PowerPoint, but we can flip to that video. We have a video about her and about another woman in our center that Laura, our teammate, has gotten to know. And our desire in meeting people through this is that we can share Christ, but as we build a relationship through English. Most people there won't come into a church, so if we did it through a church, they wouldn't come, but doing it through our center, we can build a relationship, and we can touch on spiritual topics, important issues, get to know their values, and share the values that we have because of Jesus Christ. So that's where we're seeing these steps of faith. It's a journey for people to come and do a decision, so we see them take steps towards that. So let's show that video now, and then I'll come back to the PowerPoint.
Among the 4 million Bosnian people in this country, there are less than 1,000 evangelical believers. Many people here have heard of the name of Jesus, yet few truly know him. Thus, much of the work that we do as CMA International Workers is pioneering ministry.
One of our main purposes of our activities at The Source is to provide an avenue through which we can build relationship with local people, get to know them, and in the process of our lives and conversation, share with them the truths about Jesus. We are excited to see an increase in spiritual openness through many significant conversations that have occurred with those we have met through The Source. These conversations have given us opportunities to pray with people and even give Bibles to some of our English students.
Coming to The Source for English classes for about 8 months now. A highly educated math professor and mother of two, she juggles a full-time schedule every day. At first, I could feel a wall between us, as most people here are slow to trust. Eventually, she warmed up in her conversations with me. One day, we were talking about a city in a nearby country where I had been recently to see how they celebrated Christmas. God used that moment for us to talk about the differences between the various religions here. An agnostic from Muslim background, she responded in typical fashion by saying that religion should be a private matter. However, I graciously challenged her with an ideal that one day the people of this country would be free to talk about those things that are closest to their hearts, including their beliefs about God. More recently, she initiated another conversation about religion. This led to a discussion about the symbol of the cross. This is where I added how Jesus paid for all of our sins and that we do not need to earn our way into heaven. Also, as a believer, I said that I choose to do these good things out of the great love he has for us. And she listened. Through these conversations, I believe that God is drawing her closer to faith in Jesus.
Another English student, Sandy, is a devout Muslim and editor of an Islamic educational journal. she has been coming to The Source for over a year. Though devout in her faith, she is highly opinionated and even critical of the local practice of Islam. Yet among her family and friends, she doesn't have freedom to fully express her thoughts. Through our conversational English classes, she has found that freedom. We have openly talked about many moral issues in society, similarities and differences between Islam and Christianity, the challenges she faces as a woman in the Islamic community, and the person of Jesus as represented in the Quran and in the Bible. She looks forward to her English classes and refers to our time together as her weekly therapy couch. We are encouraged to see God at work through these and many other significant conversations, and hopeful these will lead to even more spiritual fruit. We're also reminded of the difficult spiritual climate we live in here, and know that it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that people's lives will be eternally changed. Thank you for your financial support and prayers as you partner with us to share the good news of Jesus with the people of Bosnia and Herzegovina. I do thank you for your partnership with us. We couldn't be there, we couldn't be a part of people's lives like Sandy or Nathan or Victoria or Brenda if it weren't for your partnership with us and support of us. So I just want to highlight ways that you are already supporting and ways you can continue to be a part of our ministry there. One is through prayer. It's by far the most important, most significant. As we continue to work there, we know that true conversions will come only because of the Holy Spirit. We believe that God's word won't come back void. As we continue to share it, it will bring forth fruit in people's lives, but it's certainly by the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. So as you join in prayer, that's important. I do have a prayer card if you want to pray for us specifically. There's some of these prayer cards on the table back there where the handcrafts are. There's also a paper there that you can put your name and email, and we'll add you to our list. We try to give an update about every 3 months on what God's doing in our lives and in the ministry there. And so we'd be glad to update you on that and encourage you as you pray for us. You can also connect with us personally, writing to us, calls, emails, so forth. I know you had a call with Petula. Those kind of connections are significant. It's nice to, you know, have that personal touch with people and connect. We also have people who come for a visit, come for a trip, come and help out. With our center teaching English, it's not difficult to come. It's hard to learn the language, but you can plug in with English for a short term and help out. And not just young people, we've had people who are retired age who want to come and join us in the ministry. And so it's exciting to have people come and help. And also by your giving, by your finances, you give to the Great Commission's fund, as Pastor Lance said, that helps to support us. It keeps us in the field, enables us to do our ministry, and any other talents you have to help support our ministry there. It's really appreciated. We definitely recognize that we're not alone. We're part of a greater Alliance family, and we feel that support and that love. We felt it tremendously now with the current challenge that we're facing with my wife's cancer. We have thousands, literally thousands of people that we don't even know that are praying for us, and it's all because of this family that's the Alliance, and we are in awe and blessed by such support. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Christ's light is shining in Bosnia. I very much feel like a jar of clay. I don't feel equipped. You know, language is always, I struggle and still stumble over my words and so forth. And it's only because of God's Spirit working, not because of our expert skills or anything, that anything's going to happen there. But His light is shining, and we continue to pray for people. I shared about our good friend Lily in Sunday school who has come to Christ, and there are other stories like that.
There's many more stories like this where they've seen some of the light and they've made some steps closer to Christ, but we're really praying for them to make that full commitment to Christ and to move forward in really loving and knowing Him and serving Him. And I just want to close with a challenge for you as well. You also are called as Christ's witness and Christ's light. We have a calling to Bosnia, but while we're here in the States, our calling is here. God has called us wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're to be sharing Him, a witness for Him. We don't need a degree. We don't need specialized training. We're just to testify to what we see Christ doing in our hearts, how He's ministered to us, and share that with others. I hope you've seen from the stories I've shared, you know, we're not doing amazing things. We're living life. We're connecting with people. We're finding opportunities to share about the truth of Jesus through our values, through our life, ways He answers our prayers, and the same way, pray for them and see that Christ would speak into their hearts. And so it's just very naturally, very ongoing day to day with whoever God brings across our path. And I want to encourage you, God's placed you in the same position. Wherever you are, in your homes, in your families, in your workplaces, in your community, just naturally be open to sharing Christ's light and His love, His truth, through prayer, through a word, through just your love. May His light shine through you as well, that as you are a jar of clay, just like I am, His light would shine through our brokenness and our weakness, and His strength would be seen. Let me close with prayer. Jesus, I thank You and praise You that You are a God who saves, that You are a God who pursues, that You are one who knows each one of us and loves us. And Lord, You have called each of us out of darkness and into light. We have our own stories of how You have shown us Yourself. And we praise You for that. We praise You for Your tremendous grace. And Lord, I praise You for just the unbelievable grace that You allow us to be Your witness. You could just speak to people directly and bring people to Yourself, and yet somehow You've chosen to use Your people to be Your witness here on earth. Lord, I pray, enable Your light to shine. May it shine through my wife and kids and I in Bosnia and our team there as Your grace go back. Shine through us here and shine through each one here today, that wherever we go, whatever we do, in the relationships we have, Lord, that You will shine through us. Lord, break open the hard ground. Some of us have relatives that we've prayed for years that have yet to know You, Lord. Work within their hearts as only You can. No amount of words will convince them, but Your Spirit, Lord, will convict them and draw them to Christ. Lord, we pray, move by Your Holy Spirit and Your grace and goodness. And Lord, enable us to see those open doors, those opportunities to share with people, whether it be someone we work with or whether it be just be someone we meet in passing. Lord, may we be aware of Your Spirit's guiding and Your word speaking, and enable us to take that opportunity to give a kind word or a word from your Bible or a prayer for someone in need, and let Your love show and let Your truth show. So Lord, as we go out from here, may Your light shine ever greater into a world that is in great need of You, and be all for Your glory. In Your name's sake, Lord Jesus, amen.